Support for WPR comes from UW-Superior Center for Continuing Education, offering Conversations on Living Alone, a three-part series beginning Wednesday, April 17th via Zoom. Details at uwsuper.edu. Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy, committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
Well, it's still a gorgeous time of the year. In fact, we're coming into what I think is probably the prettiest time of the year. Fall in Wisconsin is wonderful. And it's a little bit warm out there right now, but there are a lot of great spots to paddle in the late summer and fall. At least I think there are. Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports of Madison, our guest today to talk with us about late summer and fall plans for paddling. Do you have anywhere and when do you plan to go? We can also talk about storage. You know, there'll come a point where you're going to have to put the gear away for the off season. And Darren will have some tips for that. And if you'd like to paddle but haven't yet, I think he's got some advice for you on that as well. So you can call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. You can post a question, a comment, or maybe you've got a great photo. I've got a few photos on my cell phone. We were doing a little kayaking and just recently, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah, maybe you've got one you can share on my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. At any rate, love to hear from you. Give us a call, shoot us an email, or post on my Facebook page. And Darren, great to have you back.
Great to be here.
It is a great time of the year to be out there on the water, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if we don't have a window in the studio. It'd be really nice. We're stuck inside. No, it's the perfect time to be out. In fact, I was down at the Union Terrace with some friends from out of town, and the water temperature was the same as the air temperature. It was kind of weird, actually. Actually, on the Hoofers board, it said water temperature is 74, air temperature is 74. So no risk of problems with immersion at this point.
No, that's for sure. Well, depending on where you paddle and when the water and air is going to get chilly, what do you keep in mind for dressing for paddling throughout the seasons?
Well, what I like to tell people is to dress for the likelihood of immersion and the impact. So if I'm paddling a stream that's, you know, warm and a foot deep, you know, if I for some reason dump my canoe or kayak, I'm going to get a little bit wet. But changing out of my clothes into something else pretty quickly is going to be, you know, a solution to the problem. If I'm in water that's cold or deep or fast moving, I'm going to want to wear something that I have to, you know, that's going to protect me while I'm in the water and while I get out. So this time of year, I'm not too concerned about it. But as we get into fall, I'll wear a lot more wool because wool retains warmth when it's wet. And as we get further on than that, like in Lake Superior, I wear a dry suit, which is, you know, basically keeps you warm even when you're immersed with the proper insulation underneath it.
You know, my wife and I, when we were over to your shop at Rutabaga, we bought something that we've really has come in handy, which are waterproof little bags.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
you could. And actually, Renee was shooting photos through our cell phone, right through the bag, and we're getting a really good picture.
Yeah, it's interesting as personal electronics have become more omnipresent, I guess.
Yeah,
people want to keep them dry, and you shouldn't go out in the wilderness with that stuff. It ruins the experience. It's like, you know, if you want to listen to your iPod while you're paddling around getting exercise, I have zero problem with that.
Yeah,
and it's safer. You know, yeah. If you're out in the middle of Lake Mendota, you can get on a marine radio and call Mayday. But, you know, you're much better off calling 911 from your cell phone.
Well, I think so. And having, you know, if you get dumped, I mean, they're dry. It's not going to get wet.
It's not going to get wet. Right. And that goes for everything else you have, too.
Yeah. So, and lateness, we can go pretty much till
it gets hard.
Yeah.
You know.
Until you can walk on it.
Until you can walk on it. Yeah, there's about 2 weeks or 3 weeks there where it's probably in between. You don't want to mess with the slush too much. But, yeah, it's I go whenever I can go year-round, even, you know, on a 30-degree day in January, which, you know, happens sometimes. I can go down the Wisconsin River and wear a dry suit,
yeah,
you know, and go for a paddle. And it's really pleasant. Lots of eagles and very few mosquitoes.
Let's talk about our canoes and our kayaks and our paddles here. What kind of maintenance should we do before storing them for winter, just to get that out of the way?
Oh, good question. So you're going to I like to put them away clean.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
yeah.
So wash them well. You know, just a good dishwashing soap works fine. Simple Green works fine. Whatever you want, get them clean. And then I use a protectant. So for fiberglass or Kevlar boats, I use basically a good car wax that's got a UV inhibitor in it. That works great. And for, you know, polyethylene or other kinds of boats, there's a product called 303 or UV Tech, and it's kind of like Armorall. But
yeah.
It's not petroleum-based, so it won't leave an oil slick on the water behind you. So you just wipe the boat down with that, and it's kind of like a sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to put your boat away. And for a kayak, I recommend a cockpit cover to cover that up. And the reason is, 30-second synopsis, is one time I hung a kayak up in my garage without putting one on. I went to take it down, and it almost crushed me because a squirrel had filled it up with black walnuts.
Oh.
So... and it keeps the spiders out. And it, I mean, it just keeps the creepies out. So that's good to do. And then don't store it on the side of the house under the eave where a snow load can come off and crush it. I get half a dozen calls every spring from someone saying, I have an insurance claim. How much is my boat worth? And I'm like, give me a guess. It was on the side of the garage. It's like, yep. And snow came down and crushed it. So inside's best. You know, on a good rack that's on the canoe, you want to suspend it upside down on the gunnels because that's going to hold the weight. On a kayak, you want to suspend it. My preference is a third of the way from each, so there's you're not suspending it from the ends, which can cause it to, you know, to sag a little bit. But like right over the bulkheads, so right behind the seat and right where your feet are is a good place to hang a boat.
Very good advice. John and Stevens Point, thank you very much for calling. What's on your mind?
I was just calling you, speaking about fall paddling plans, and on the 14th of September, there's an event on Lake Dubay, starting from the Tiki Bar, or the Tiki Lounge or something, called Paddle Quest. It's a paddling-based scavenger hunt, adventure challenge kind of sort of, it's a waterway cleanup as well. It's a really fun event. There's a big one in Stevens Point that takes place the second weekend of August. But the one in Lake Dubay is our last one of the year, and that one is starts at, I think, 10 a.m. All the information can be found at paddlequest.org.
Mm-hmm. Paddlequest.org. And what was the date for it again?
September 14th.
Yeah, great, John. If you send me that link to my email, it's darrenb@rutabaga.com. I'll put it up on our Facebook page.
Okay, I will do that. I also had one brief question about... sealing or treating a Kevlar canoe. Mine's seen a little bit of too much UV, and I was just wondering if there's a product that, in addition to, or something a little more substantial that can be put on it. It's not shiny. It's a Mad River, and it's not shiny like, say, a Winona or something like that. It's a little more flat finish.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any kind of sealant or any kind of resin that I can put on there that would just give it a little more protection?
So it's got a colorant on it, right? It's a color? What color is it?
It's beige, yeah.
It's beige. Okay. What you have on there is gel coat, which is not paint. It's a thick product. It's applied much thicker than paint. You can actually buff that and take it back to a brand new shine. So get a good, not the red compound for automobiles, but the white stuff. It's kind of a halfway between polishing compound and the heavy stuff, and just rub it out. If you got one of those car buffers, or better yet, a friend's car buffer, just go ahead and buff it, and then get some polishing compound or good paste wax, and you can make it like it was at new.
Hmm.
Great, and then your email again is what?
It's Darren B, D-A-R-R-E-N, letter B, at rutabaga.com.
All right, thank you very much, Darren.
Sure. Yeah.
Thanks, John, for calling. Appreciate it. And Tom in Heartland. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hey, how are you guys?
Great.
Good.
Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm thinking about, or actually I'm planning to go up to Buckhorn State Park here in a few weeks and do some paddling. I wondered if you, Darren, had ever been there, got any opinion on it. Is it too weedy? Or?
I haven't been there. I have no opinion, but it's wet. So
okay.
Give it a try, see what happens.
I have not either. Maybe somebody else has. If you're listening in and you've been at Buckhorn State Park or maybe paddled there, we'd love to hear. So stay listening, Tom. We'll see what we can come up with. Thanks, guys. Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You been to Buckhorn State Park? Maybe paddle there? Love to hear from you. Dennis and Seymour. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I've been canoeing for about 25 years, but recently I was in a kayak for the first time, and talk about a pig on roller skates. Do you have any tips on how to control a kayak versus a canoe, if there's any difference? I just had a rough time trying to get started.
What kind of boat did you, kayak did you have? You remember?
No, I do not. It was okay. Just a friend that I tried out.
Okay.
Oh, I know about those. The kind your friend has.
An older one.
Right. So let me guess, your friend got a new one and you got his cast off, which is, that's actually cool. A lot of people keep their boats just for friends. I've got a couple that I loan out all the time. So the trick to kayaking is, number one, have a boat that does what you want it to do. And there's mostly, most of the designs out there are pretty good. There are some that are questionable, but you probably have a decent one. The trick to kayaking is to apply equal force on each side and you'll go straight. Now, what happens a lot with new kayakers, especially canoeists, is the paddle isn't centered. So they have it off center a little bit. So they're wondering why they pulled to the left. It's like, well, there's more paddle on the right. So that happens quite a bit. The other thing I notice is people put too much power into it. So just take half the power out and just relax. And you'll find that you go almost as fast or maybe as fast without pushing the boat. So don't paddle so hard.
Now, should you paddle, like with a canoe, you bring the paddle past you. In the kayak, do you do the same thing or you just bring it?
The most efficient stroke is from your toes to your hip, basically. Once you get behind that, you're not doing a whole lot.
Okay. Toes to hip.
Toes to hip, yep.
And dig in or?
Well, use your torso muscles, not your arm muscles, just like when you paddle a canoe. And just take it easy, you know, just, I don't want to say lily dip, but just don't apply a lot of pressure to the blade. You'll find that you can add that as you get more proficient, but just take it easy. Apply 50% pressure.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks.
Yep, appreciate it. Mike in Milwaukee, hi.
Hello. I'm familiar with the Buckhorn, if it's the Buckhorn State Park that I'm thinking it is. It's located on the Castle Rock Flowage and the Wisconsin River. It's actually where the two converge.
Okay.
And the Lemon Weir and the Yellow River both feed into that.
Ooh, the Lemon Weir.
All right.
That's a wonderful fall river.
Yeah, so there we go. So canoeing, kayaking on the Buckhorn.
Yeah, one of my favorite rivers is the Lemon Weir because if you do a car shuttle or a bike shuttle, you can paddle 15 miles and ride 5. It is. People say the Kickapoo's the twistiest in the world. They're wrong. The Lemon Weir is so twisty. It's beautiful, though.
Darren Bush, our guest, he'll be with us right up until 12:30 today. News coming up next here on the Ideas Network. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at canoeing and kayaking here in Wisconsin this time of the year. Our guest today, Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. We have a link to his website. Rutabaga's website is www.rutabaga.com. It's up on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, so you can take a look at it right there. Always love it when he comes by. Darren, great to have you with us once again.
Great to be here.
We have open lines for you. Maybe you have a question about canoeing or kayaking. Do you like to do it in late summer and fall? Where do you go? Or maybe you have some questions about where to go. Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'd love to hear from you. I got a Facebook question from Zach who says, I have a 14 current design Kestrel, and I get a sore back in a very short time, a 14-foot current design Kestrel. Gets a sore back. Are there any other aftermarket options, or do you have any suggestions for back support?
Yeah, kayaks are kind of like suits. You know, you buy them off the rack and then you start tailoring them a little bit. And for some people, they're lucky and it fits perfectly. And the majority of people, that's probably how it works. But for some people, myself included, we need to do a little bit of surgery on the boat. So there's probably some things that need to be adjusted. Maybe just an adjustment would work. The seat pan angle makes a big difference in your lower back. Actually, more important than the back band is just the angle of your pelvis, you know, so making the seat pan work so it's the right angle makes a difference. You can get a different kind of seat back. Sometimes a back band works better, a little lower. So it's kind of tough to see without seeing you. But if, you know, bring it in the shop and sit on the grass and we can play with it a little bit.
We have a comment from Lois, Facebook comment, who took their grandchildren, ages 12 and 14, for their first two-hour trip down the Manitouish River, and they loved it. You know, they saw eagles, a giant eagle nest.
Yeah, those are cool. There's one just south of the Narrows, Devil's Elbow, in the Dells, that I don't see very often in the summer, just because I don't want to get run over by a 100-foot tour boat. But the Dells in the fall is delightful. You know, it's beautiful up there, and it's quiet, and it's just south of the Narrows there.
We have Rusty in Mauston with a question for you. Let's go there. Rusty, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think this is a great program, and I hope that it encourages more people to get out and try the outdoor sports. I coordinate an outdoor adventure program called ChallengeScape for the Mauston School District, and what I do is try to introduce adventure sports and especially paddling to young people who might not get a chance to do that kind of thing. And I was a professional whitewater guide for about 12 years and kind of carried over into my educational career. We do a week-long trip every summer, and we have done the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, which I would recommend to anyone, especially in the fall,
sure,
if they have the water. And we've done the Turtle Flambeau Flowage, and then this year we actually traveled to the Buffalo River in northwest Arkansas, which is just gorgeous if anyone can make it down there. I wondered what recommendations you would have for a week-long trip, and I'm looking for the least amount of, you know, houses and cottages and stuff like that along a river, and I don't know Wisconsin rivers well enough. I am originally from Arkansas.
Hence the Buffalo comment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an awesome river. It's just beautiful. And you want to stay in Wisconsin. You don't want to travel.
Right. I'm just wondering what's available to us.
A week on a river, it was going to it'd have to be the Wisconsin. It'd be tough to find something longer. I mean, there's the Namekagon-St. Croix system up north that you could probably get a four-day trip out of that, and that's gorgeous. There's a few cabins here and there, but it's a national scenic river. That's no big deal. You know, the Manitouish chain is beautiful, but you're looking at shorter trips. The lower Wisconsin is, you know, 3 to 4 days. If you wanted to add
and
a little.
I can also, and sorry to interrupt you, I
sure.
apologize.
Go
I
ahead.
Can also, like, do a day on the water, spend 2 nights at a higher camp, 2 days on the water. So I don't necessarily need all 5 days on the water if it would get me into some really pretty scenery.
You know what I would do? I'd do the Namekagon St. Croix chain because there's plenty up there to do outside of that. You could head over and see, you know, yeah. Amnicon Falls and see the waterfalls, and there's places to camp, and there's other things to do up there. It's a lovely spot.
It really is. I second that motion.
Okay. And then lastly, the Brule. What can you tell me about it?
Oh, the Bois Brule? The mm-hmm. one up that runs into Superior?
I guess.
By Iron, I always say Iron Mountain, or Iron, it's Iron River.
Iron
right.
River.
It's a fantastic river. That's a good 3-4 day trip. A little bit of whitewater, 3 or 4 spots that are a little tricky. You want to have some training on that or walk around them. It's kind of tough. The ledges are what I'm talking about. If you Google Brule River ledges, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's like class 3. It's not horrible.
Okay.
But it's a beautiful river. It's absolutely gorgeous, and the trout fishing is spectacular.
Wow, sounds great. Hey, thank you so much for the information. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Welcome to Wisconsin.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. We had Lois was planning on paddling the Kickapoo in September, wondering about the water levels, and I was trying to find the water level.
It's a little green dot.
Yeah, a little green dot.
So if you go to USG, or water data,
yeah.
.usgs.gov, It is called Water Watch, and it's the river levels for all the measured rivers in the country. And you click on Wisconsin, and then if you want to, you don't have to even click on the dot, but there's a dot where each gauge is.
Yeah.
And there's one on the Kickapoo right at the Wisconsin River at Waseca. And if you look at that, that'll tell you what it is. But they're also color-coded. So mm-hmm. you can see green is, you know, a little above average. You know, it's, you know.
Very nice sight.
Yeah, it's great. And you can also squint at the whole country and see where the droughts are. It's very interesting.
And Judith will put that up on our Facebook page. So people want to click to it, they can certainly find it.
I use it almost daily when I'm going paddling, yeah.
Dan in Muskego, hi, thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I love to kayak down rivers versus lakes. And when I go by myself, I was wondering if you have any other ideas. I heard you talk about the Lemonware River and how that is a very, it turns out quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it makes it easier to shuttle. And rather than, you know, taking my bike all the time and, you know, shuttling that way, do you have any other ideas on shuttling?
Okay. My wife isn't listening. Do you have a right thumb?
I do.
And can you use it? So what I find is if I'm carrying a paddle and wearing a PFD, like unzipped, and put my thumb out, I get a ride in like two or three cars. Because people know why you're there. They know the river's there. Huh. And they're nice. You know, they're like, oh, you're paddling. Okay, cool. I'll drop you off. It's, you know, and I mean, I got a ride once from Spring Green to, from Bridgeport to Spring Green.
Oh my goodness.
This guy's like, yeah, I'm only going to Lone Rock. I'll just take you all the way. It's like, cool. So again, hitchhiking is very dangerous. You should never do it. Blah, blah, blah. I do it all the time.
There you go, Dan.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Your mileage may vary.
Oh, man. I had, here's a question. Oh, this is a funny one. This is a cool one from Daniel. I have a Perception kayak that I purchased from Rutabaga in 1985. Didn't that come with a 100,000-mile warranty? I only have the pad on the foot brace is worn through, and it only has about 20,000 miles on it.
You know what? That's a great story. Bring it in and I'll replace it for nothing. That's awesome. You're wearing out a foot pedal. You're my kind of guy.
That, absolutely. All right. Well, that's Daniel.
Yeah, just send me an email and come on over.
Oh, man. Gene and Rhinelander, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I have two things that I'd like to tell you. The first is a question about storage. I stored my canoe at Wingra and used it one summer, and in the fall I was a little tardy in picking it up. And it's a Grumman. It's shorter than the average, has a river keel and a place to step a mast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very unusual canoe. So if anybody has it, her name is Miss Demeanor. And I'm way
That's
too
clever.
Old now to profit from her. But the second story is about your St. Croix. This is the upper reaches of the St. Croix. I don't recommend it for anybody who has a loaded canoe because sometimes it's about ankle deep.
Yeah, and it depends on where and depends on the water levels, but you're right. Yeah, it's
exactly.
pretty shallow.
This is the first 2 miles of the St. Croix. I was going downstream into a headwind. Now, this is fairly decent rapids, and I was paddling for all I was worth, and then I decided to go back up the river. So I started, and I thought, well, geez, the wind is so good at my back. So I stood up in the canoe with my poplin coat stretched out as a sail, and I am blithely sailing up the river, and I see a couple of canoes coming down, and they said, look at that!
That's a great story, and I wish there were a picture of it. That's wonderful.
Only in my mind.
Well, that's a good place for it, too, Gene. Thank you.
Keep on paddling.
Bye. Yeah, thank you very much. Oh, man. We have Noreen in Three Lakes, Wisconsin. Three Lakes, Georgia Calyx's old stomping grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Noreen.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
My question is about types of kayaks. Could you discuss the advantages of the sit-in kayak versus the sit-on-top-of kayak, and primarily for use on lakes?
Okay. In general, sit-on-top kayaks are wider and a little slower, and that's because you need to sit higher to keep out of the water, to keep out of the bilge water. They are very safe. If you tip them over, they drain. They're self-bailing. They are not as good for early season and late season because water comes up through the scuppers and you can get wet. So I think it's more of a Memorial Day to Labor Day kind of boat. They also tend to be a little bit less, a little bit shorter and not as good at tracking. So for flat water, I prefer a sit in, but it depends on the utility. You know, it depends what you're doing with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. I think Tim in Arcadia has something similar here. Tim, hi.
Hi, Guy. The last question pretty much answered it. My question was around the sit-on-top, too, as well as the cubby-hold ones for a novice on kind of gentle lakes, just to paddle around the lake slowly, no rough weather or no fast water. Is the sit-on-top or the ones in the hole better? Better, especially for somebody that's a novice and somebody that's a little older and climbing in and out of the hole might be a little more difficult.
Well, the cockpits come in various sizes. So you can definitely get a bigger cockpit, which makes it easier to get in and out for sure. I do prefer sit inside kayaks for paddling. Now, for like fishing or other utilities, a sit on top is great. But if you want to like paddle and get paddling techniques and efficiency and a little bit of exercise, you know, moving around, I think a sit in is better than a sit on top. But yeah, there's lots of lengths. There's lots of size cockpits. There's lots of options for you.
Are you better off to be longer or in between, like a 10-footer or a 12-footer?
10-footers tend to be a little bit harder to track and a little bit sluggish. 12 to 14 is a really nice size for, you know, for just day paddling. For more trips, you want to do an overnight or something like that, you can squeeze into a 14-footer, but then you want a little longer boat. But if you're just paddling, day paddling, you know, 12, 13, 14 feet is great.
Okay, good. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We have more callers online. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions, and we would certainly love to hear from you. And let's take a call here. We'll get that in just a minute. Oh, Judith is letting me know we're four likes away from 6,000 friends on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show.
That's more than me.
That's a nice number.
Three times as many.
I need four more people. Let's just get us up to 6,000. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, like it, and you'll be maybe number 6,000.
It's like a pledge drive, except there's no money involved.
no money involved. This is good. You'll get lots of great help, lots of great information from it if you click like. Ann in Harbor Spring, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about the weight of a kayak in the wind, how those two interact.
The weight of the kayak is less important than the shape and the design. The deeper a kayak is, the more it'll respond to wind. Because if you think about it, I weigh about 200 pounds. If I'm in a 40-pound boat, there's 240 pounds of us. If I'm in a 30-pound boat, there's 230 pounds of us. So the difference isn't that great. It's more about the depth of the boat. The reason you go lightweight isn't for performance. It's so you can pick it up and put it on your car, because that's the most important thing in paddling as far as usage. We've seen this over and over again. It isn't the performance of the boat. It's the weight and the seat. If it's light and comfortable, you're good.
You're going to use it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then what would be the difference between a longer, narrower one versus a more squat, shorter, wider one in terms of...
In the wind?
Yeah.
Well, shorter is not obviously, but more maneuverable, all things considered. You can get longer maneuverable boats and shorter straighter tracking boats, but all things considered, longer is, you know, better tracking. Goes a little straighter. And depends on the kind of water you're on. For example, on moving water, on a river, even, you know, just a moving river, you want a little shorter boat because you want to be able to turn and twist and maneuver. But on a pond or a lake, well, you don't need to do that. You want a, you know, straighter tracking boat so you can worry less about making the boat go straight and, you know, get a better view of the scenery or whatever you want to do, take pictures or do that stuff.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. Mm-hmm. We appreciate your call very much. Don in Wrightstown, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hey, Dan, I had a question for you. I bought a 15-foot venture from you guys last summer. I've been out on our river quite a bit with it. I'm wondering, a big old boat goes by with a sizable wake. Am I best advised to stick my nose into those waves, or can you negotiate them pretty decent sideways?
Depends on your skill level. Pointing into them 90 degrees to the wake is always a good, safe thing to do. I usually take them about a 45 degree, you know, and just kind of roll over it. But, you know, it depends. If I'm with a group of people that are a little bit nervous, I'll say, okay, everybody point into the wake and, you know, we, and then you're done.
Yeah.
Take a class.
Well, that too, but sometimes you got to learn on your own.
Yeah, come paddle with me. Right, that'd be fun.
All right. Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Don. Appreciate the call. And Carlton in Elroy. Hi.
Hello. I just wanted to talk about an experience I had with my mom this past weekend. Last couple of summers, I've been building cedar strip canoes, and they're just gorgeous. I hate to put them on the water, but have a lot of fun canoeing. And we're up by Rainliner this past weekend. Had my 85-year-old mom, she's never been in a canoe before, doesn't know how to swim, so I bought her an inflatable PFD and took her out, and she just had a blast. First time in the canoe, there was something going on with the canoe. I didn't know what was wrong. It was shaking, and asked her, you know, are you all right? She says, my knees are shaking. I'm so scared. But the wind took us out, drifted us out in the middle of the lake, and we got in between a pair of loons and their young, and 15 feet away, the loons are calling to the young. And I couldn't believe how happy my mom was. It was just a blast.
Oh.
Oh, what a great story. Thanks for doing that.
Oh, wonderful story.
Yeah, my mom's getting up. She's not 80 yet, but she's very adventurous. I took her to Baja to go sea kayaking with me last winter. She's like, okay, I'll do that. So, yeah, you don't play because you get old. You get old because you stop playing or whatever, something like that.
Thanks, Carl. Ted in Menominee. Hi. Ted, are you there?
Uh-oh. Ted.
We lost Ted. Well, that's too bad. Well, here we are. We've got a couple minutes left, and I'm wondering if you have any advice. You know, here we are, the end of the fall season. Any great advice on where to go, places that you like to go that other people don't know much about?
You know, there's a lot of wonderful places. What I'd love is people can go on, if they go to the Rutabaga Paddle Sports Facebook page and just post things of places you've been, because I haven't paddled everywhere. I don't know. I mean, there's a couple places I like that are local, because frankly, local is always best, because you'll do it. You know, it's a 4-hour drive. It's like, I got to mow the lawn.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, but other people do. but like the Grant's, you know, it's an hour and a half from Madison. It's very small and very pretty. You know, it's not as famous as the Kickapoo, but it's got some nice limestone bluffs. And, you know, the Lower Sugars down by Avon Bottoms is beautiful. And I mean, once you're on the water, I haven't found that many places that aren't beautiful.
Absolutely. And I'm thinking that, you know, just wherever you are.
Best place to paddle is where you paddle, you know. And I want to go to the Boundary Waters someday. Great. In the meantime, you live 2 miles from a lake. You know, go there and just enjoy how beautiful it is there.
And we're so lucky in so many parts of the state. I'm thinking of Madison. If you live in Madison, you can't be more than a mile from a lake, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm about a mile and a half from Wingra. And that's where I spend a lot of my time. My wife and I just went over there. We have SUP boards now, the stand-up paddle boards. And we went over and tried that and paddled around. And, you know, there's 3 houses on Lake Wingra.
Yeah.
You know, it's the fastest way out of Madison.
Yeah.
You know? It's beautiful there.
And some great fishing.
apparently, it's a Class A muskie lake.
It's a Class A muskie lake. One of the density of muskies in that lake is one of the highest, or maybe the highest, muskies per acre in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, that explains those guys throwing lures the size of broomsticks out there all the time.
Lots of them.
Yeah, no kidding.
Darren, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison, our guest. Go to rutabaga.com. If you forget that, just go to my website at the Larry Mueller Show. By the way, thank you. We've just went over 6,008 friends now on our Facebook page. But Darren's got a great website. Take a look at it, rutabaga.com. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.